The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, We Got Love. Five high-profile pairs share their sweet beginnings, how they overcome challenging moments, and the rewarding work behind the relationships fans have come to admire. We are obsessed with Black love. We never get sick of seeing the date nights, engagements, weddings, and baby showers on our social media feeds. But those swoon-worthy images and 30-second videos are merely highlight reels. There's so much time, patience, communication, compromise, conflict resolution, and lovemaking that goes into creating a long-lasting relationship. Here, we profiled five married celebrity couples to uncover the stories behind their captivating connections. DeBrat and Jessica Harris Dupart. Shantae DeBrat Harris Dupart moved gradually from dating men and keeping her queer status on the low to wanting everybody and their grandmama to know Jessica Judy Harris Dupart was her babe. Jessica, on the other hand, had become a successful entrepreneur while being her authentic self. Nevertheless, she's more than willing to go at Brat's pace. I live out loud, says the 42-year-old businesswoman, leaning a head full of curls on the rapper's shoulder. But I respected her privacy and I respected her space. When Brat, 49, met the Kaleidoscope Hair Products mogul at a promotional event, she thought their link-up was going to be strictly business, agreeing to work on promo together for the beauty brand. Jessica came by herself to the studio and got out of the car with a cute outfit and dangly ponytail. And I'm like, where's the videographer? Where's your crew? The functified MC says, smiling at her wife of 2 years. Their easy conversation led to a chat about their interest. Then it was time for Jessica to state her case. I said, I'm interested in you. This bold confession made the normally confident Chi-Town native nervous, complete with butterflies in her stomach. I tried to be cool and drink some Hennessy, but I missed my mouth and it spilled all over my shirt, Brat recalls. I was so embarrassed. Despite their obvious chemistry, their relationship didn't start immediately. But when it did, the two fell fast and deep in love. Both joked about making it Instagram official. Jessica posted a picture of them booed up with a caption that simply read, yep, their relationship was out there. And Brat, who explains she'd been trapped in a closet for 40-something years, had a panic attack as her phone vibrated with calls and texts. She refused to look at the comments on social media until Jessica told her people were showing them love. Finally, a weight had been lifted and the rap star could freely live her truth. Now fans get to see the couple married, parenting their son, true legend, and being fertility awareness advocates. They have even let cameras in on their ups and downs via multiple seasons of the popular docuseries Brat Loves Judy on WeTV. Being kissy face on camera with beautiful, their pet name for each other, is easy, but for Jessica, it's just as important for people to see them get through the hard stuff. We know the camera is going to catch the argument, but it will also catch us resolving it, she says. It might not be the same day, but it lets people know that things don't have to stay on a negative note. Kevin and Melissa Fredericks. Kevin Fredericks, popularly known as at Kev on stage and wife Melissa at Mrs. Kev on stage disagree about why it took them so long to make a love connection. He was trying to play the field, she says, chuckling at their high school memories. So we were just friends for a long time. He had me go into all the classrooms talking to girls. Before she can finish the story, Kev interrupts. I was never a player. I was a humble servant of the Lord at all times, he jokes. I fell in love with Melissa at first sight, but she didn't want to date me, so I was forced to entertain other women. While their versions of events differ, the two eventually found their way to each other. They have now been married for 20 years and are the parents of two sons. The authors of the New York Times best-selling book, Marriage Be Hard, 12 Conversations to Keep You Laughing, Loving, and Learning with Your Partner, say that when it comes to working through conflict, not all marital challenges are created equal. Issues can range from figuring out who's going to take the lead on important decisions to how not to connect household tasks to traditional gender roles. If I'm not intimidated by Kevin's strength and he's not intimidated by mine, that means we are able to operate in our strengths, says Melissa, 41. That's been the key to their partnership in love and business. Melissa reads people well and tends to negotiate, while I tend to go fast and bullhead my way into stuff, says Kevin, 40. Melissa plans, prepares, and strategizes. Having her on my side has been invaluable. Holly Robinson Pete and Rodney Pete. Some couples seek therapy only during a crisis, but not the Peets. That's because Holly Robinson Pete always planned to be proactive, not reactive, in her relationship with sportsman Rodney. During their honeymoon phase, the Queen's Court host enlisted the support of a professional before jumping the broom in June 1995. Therapy has become their secret to not surviving but thriving in the face of challenges, including when they came together for their son, RJ, when he was diagnosed with autism. I was taught that therapy was simply a third party who can give you an objective point of view, the 59-year-old actress says, of stigmas surrounding the practice. It's not a head shrink. It's not a lobotomy. It's a person who teaches you how to talk to others and gives you tools to work through things. Rodney, a retired NFL quarterback, wasn't initially comfortable with talking about his feelings, but he stayed open to the idea. After working with their therapist as their confidant for 3 decades, he can't say enough good things about the process. Everybody thinks of therapy as what's wrong with you, instead of let's enhance what's right with you, says the 57-year-old sports commentator and father of 4. It enhances your relationship to talk to someone about your goals. We did that and it worked. As they approach 29 years of marriage this year, Holly says, Black love is smoky, sexy, spiritual, and sensual. And she and Rodney agree that Black music, from jazz to R&B, has played a pivotal role in different seasons of their love. That's why for their 25th anniversary in 2020, while the world figured out how to shelter in place, Holly found a way to surprise Rodney and celebrate their bond with a socially distant serenade, courtesy of crooner Jeffrey Osborne. She invited 5 couples to a friend's driveway to watch the former LTD singer perform Love Ballad. Osborne pulled up, opened the sunroof, cranked up the sound, projecting speakers, and gave them a show to remember. That moment is one of many in their enduring love story that holds a special place in Rodney's heart. That was pretty amazing. It wasn't elaborate or let's go to Monte Carlo, he says. It was much more special because of the thought Holly put into it. The next article is titled Partners in crime. It takes two. I think this is the strongest I've ever been, says Jordan Woods, 26, in Los Angeles, on the set of her joint Essence GU cover shoot with her little sister, Jody Woods, 17. I feel more sure of myself than I have ever been. When I had that revelation, my faith strengthened, my connection with my family strengthened, and I felt like God was speaking. But to walk in God's glory and to be in God's glory, you will be tested. You will be humiliated, she adds. That latter statement may be a reference to when she found herself mired in a tumultuous storyline with the Kardashian family in 2019. At the end of it all, she publicly distanced herself from the clan and ultimately retreated from the harsh lights of the media. However, Jordan, now a business owner who recently launched her own clothing line, is feeling confident and whole. She is, in other words, above it. I've never grown through anything comfortable, so sometimes you have to get uncomfortable. She says, you go through things and they bring you to the path that you are supposed to be on. Her sister Jody, sitting next to her, nods as she speaks. God's plan is bigger than anything. She agrees. In 2017, their father, John Woods, passed away, leaving their mom to raise four kids of her own in L.A. It was a devastating loss for the family, creating a gap that Jordan's boyfriend and Minnesota Timberwolves center, Carl Anthony Towns, would eventually help fill. He always shows up for all of us, not just Jordan, Jody says, proud of the bond her sister and Towns have forged. The pair had been close friends for years. Then Towns lost his mother during the pandemic, drawing his family and Jordan's closer. We flew out to Minnesota after his mom passed, and we have been dating ever since, Jordan explains. He knows Dad is not here anymore, so he is just looking out for us in all aspects. I feel like he has a heart of gold, and that is really difficult to find. Even in the studio and in full glam, Jordan and Jody have gratitude and humility that are alluring. To my right, their mom, Elizabeth, who is also their manager, is recording our conversation on her phone. Their family dynamic reminds me of a passage about unconditional love in the late bell hooks, All About Love. Loving parents work hard to discipline without punishment, Hooks wrote. This doesn't mean that they never punish. They focus on teaching children how to be self-disciplining and how to take responsibility for their actions. That's exactly what Jordan did in the aftermath of the trouble with the Kardashians in 2019. The situation might have left some people hysterical, possibly to the point of ruin, but Jordan not only persevered, she also prospered. And with the support of her family, she continues to flourish while using her opportunities to familiarize her audience with her little sister, Jody. And what's better than one would sister too? Maneuvering in the industry with my little sister, it's kind of scary. Just because I know what the industry entails, Jordan says, you have to have very thick skin. But it's also a blessing because we are able to do it together. I know I have my right hand with me there. While Jordan didn't have a big sister to lead her through the highs and lows of Hollywood, she's determined that Jody, the baby of the family, should be protected at all times. She admits that watching her younger sister enter the spotlight is both rewarding and nerve-wracking, given what she knows about the world in which they operate. She was sick, Jody interjects, when I asked Jordan how she felt about her sister becoming a young influencer. Jordan, who grew up in Hollywood, had her first negative paparazzi encounter when she was 12 years old, and she recalls it as the worst day of my life. I didn't know how the internet worked, she says. Seeing people talk about me and say the craziest things about me was hard. From then on, I had to really pick myself up. That's when I realized that my individuality is my greatest gift. In retrospect, it was Jordan's determination to stay positive that helped her manage life crises. And Jody, nearly 10 years younger than Jordan, would reap the benefits of her sister's hard-won lessons. People will hate just because they weren't in the same position as you growing up, says Jody. I just don't listen to people on the internet. Like, I know who I am in real life. My family's got me. I've got real ones around me. So I don't need y'all. It's a resilient attitude for a teenager who came of age with social media at her fingertips. But observing her older sister was like an influencing one-on-one lesson for Jody, allowing her to grow her personal brand over the last few years. It happened so naturally, she says. I never was like, I want to be an influencer or I want to have a makeup company. That wasn't really my main thing. Then it just happened, and I fell in love with doing it. Jody celebrated a MAC collaboration this past July. I feel like I am really coming into myself, she says, and I am way more wise. I felt like I was ready. Yet Jody and Jordan are just scratching the surface of what's to come. Jordan, who's busy scaling up her clothing line, Woods by Jordan, hints at more exciting projects on the way. From red carpets to fashion week, the sisters are a fresh power duo, and they are doing it with their mom by their side and a family-first approach. This close-knit vibe is how they are protecting themselves from industry woes. We don't get to choose our biological family, so it's a gift when you are close with your siblings, and a blessing when you can work together to build generational wealth. Investments, YouTube videos, and more brand collaborations are in the pipeline for Jordan and Jody. But the biggest update from the Woods sisters is a potential music release. I am trying not to share anything too prematurely, Jordan says with a conspiratorial air. But hopefully there will be some music from one or both of us. Stay tuned. The next article is titled, You Mad? In an effort not to be labeled an angry black woman, many of us pass up the opportunity to have a healthy relationship with anger. It's time to reclaim the emotion. Black women have a fraught relationship with anger, whether we're distancing ourselves from the harmful stereotype of the combative, neck-rolling sapphire birth from America's Jim Crow era, or trying to avoid the repercussions of expressing warranted frustration in the workplace. We are good at sucking it up and pushing through. But being angry is our birthright, argues licensed psychotherapist Patrice N. Douglas, one that was taken from us during slavery. Anger is a natural response to certain provocations, Douglas says, but because we were considered property and didn't have a say in things, we never had the privilege or permission to embrace and express our emotions appropriately. And anger can do so many great things for us as people. Even today, our anger, when we do express it, gets filtered through the stereotyped lens of the angry black woman, costing us professionally and personally, and in the most extreme cases, putting us in life-threatening situations. Aware of these outcomes, many black women have opted out of exploring their anger and leaned into being unbothered instead. Cecilia Bowen, author of Bad Fat black girl, says this popular cultural response is a very cute distraction rooted in parody. Avoiding our anger has never existed as a true, authentic solution. Being unbothered gives us a way to walk away from a natural emotion we have no safe way of expressing and haven't had the opportunity to understand. For us, the avoidance came with a little bit of satire, because there is no denying all of the things we have to be mad about, Bowen adds. So we say, I'm going to avoid the things that make me angry, because there is no space for my anger. In fact, we exist in a culture where anger is harmful to us. That's part of the reason we run from it, because where does it go? But let's just say we do lean into it. What does that get us? Admitting your anger. Before we can manage anger, we must know how to identify it. Noreen Palmer, an anger management psychotherapist, says that starts with the physiological symptoms. It's like lightning hits the brain, and then your emotion starts, she says. There's something out there that triggers you, and you can't catch yourself if you can't catch that feeling, and you only have a few seconds to do it. According to Palmer, co-author of Going Off, A Black Woman's Guide for Dealing with Anger and Stress, the physical symptoms of anger can include tightness in the chest, numbness in the face, or trembling in the hands. After this bodily response, Douglas says there's a critical 30-minute window during which internal processing should happen. Our nervous system is always so activated that for black women, a big part of anger regulation is to slow down instead of springing into action, Douglas explains. We are always solution-oriented. We've got to figure it out because life moves on. That's what's been conditioned into us. For a healthier response, she recommends taking time out, which might include strategies such as deep breathing or meditation to slow down our nervous system, or even just taking some time away from others to be in tune with our emotions. If you're angry, it helps to eat a snack, go watch some TV, take a break, she says. Make sure you're not sleepy. Make sure you really understand what you're feeling before you act on it. Listening to your anger. When Kaja Pack's husband died, she was pissed. Pissed that he died and pissed that he left her with 6 children to care for. In grief counseling, she told her therapist as much. She looked at me and said, well, you can't be pissed off. You have to learn how to deal with it, recalled Pat. That was not what I needed to hear. The relationship between grief and anger is common, says Douglas, as anger is often a secondary emotion. Anger might not be the primary thing that we are feeling, she explains, noting that we could also be sad or embarrassed. We really don't know what else we are feeling. Seeking a way to deal with her primary emotion, grief, and its companion, anger, Pat opened Break Life, Houston's first black-owned therapeutic rage room for people to embrace and release anger without repercussion. In addition to smash rooms, she also offers painting therapy and spaces for patrons to cry and yell without judgment. Since the space opened, she's hosted everything from divorce parties to therapy for children in foster homes. We see a vast array of emotions, she says. We see a lot of sadness. We get a lot of breakups, not just romantic relationships, but we see a lot of friendships breaking up. And the only way that it's going to work for us is to understand what emotions we go through and why. Anger as a way through. Embracing anger is more than just bucking the angry black woman stereotype. Research like Donna S. Davenport's The Functions of Anger and Forgiveness, Guidelines for Psychotherapy with Victims, 1991, and Susan M. Johnson's The Practice of Emotionally Focused Couple Therapy, Creating Connection, 2004, have shown that allowing anger to exist in healthy ways improves the quality of our relationships and is a form of self-care. From anxiety to depression, Douglas says, anger translates to so many health disparities in our community because we're not able to use it the right way. It's killing us if we don't properly channel it. Letting our anger exist in a society that equates it to violence is scary, but getting to a place where we welcome the fullness of our humanity, inclusive of anger, is necessary. Just saying it out loud and meaning what we say, advocating for ourselves, even if we know it may not change things, decreases our low self-esteem. Douglas notes, it decreases our depression because we feel empowered within ourselves, which is one of the biggest components of the Black experience. We always want to feel strong and empowered within ourselves. Yes, there are sometimes consequences or people don't want to hear you, but the fact that you're able to speak about how you feel, that is empowering in itself, she adds. Sometimes just expressing our anger is all we need to get past it. The next article is from BlackEnterprise.com and is titled Family of Entrepreneurs Open Black-Owned Catering Company in Charlotte. In the heart of the Queen City, Charlotte, North Carolina, a local Black-owned catering company named Sweet Potato Jones is more than just a culinary haven. It's a testament to the entrepreneurial spirit deeply ingrained in one family, according to WSOC-TV. Patrick Jones, a native of Queen City, embarked on a journey to convince his girlfriend Carla, originally from Chicago, to embrace his hometown. A casual visit turned into a significant juncture when Patrick networked during a job interview, leading him to a successful career in computer science. Sweet Potato Jones was born out of Carla's transition from throwing Patrick's 40th birthday bash into turning her love for parties into a thriving side hustle. The endless requests for her expertise fueled the creation of their event and catering company. You would see people get instant gratification from the food that they eat, remarked Amber Jones, head chef of Sweet Potato Jones. So that was what I saw that said I want to give that same kind of experience through food to people. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.